All right. Good morning, everybody. While I am putting on my encounter uniform, I'm going to ask the rest of you, how many of you have your Bibles? Okay. If you don't have them in your hand, put them away. If you have them in your hand, put them away. You don't need your Bibles. You don't need Facebook. You don't need Messenger. So this morning, take your iPhones, and if you have to put them on the floor in front of you or hand them to the people behind you, get rid of them. Now, I know some of you are in panic mode right now. Brianne. So please, take your phones and lay them down. I'm going to put mine down here. Now, let me get dressed up in uniform. All right. Encounter 2018, follow. Before we get there, though, happy Father's Day. A lot of you still have your fathers, and some of us are jealous because of that. Our fathers teach us a lot, whether we realize it or not, good or bad. For a long time, my dad and I didn't talk religion. Not because we both were both not Church of Christ. We were. But the congregation they attended when they prayed was thee and thou. And I don't understand thee and thou. I understand y'all and us and that kind of stuff. So when it come to that, we didn't talk religion. But he taught me a lot about religion and how to be faithful to my convictions. So thank your fathers for what they have taught you. If you have lost your father, pray to God and thank him for what he has taught you on how to be convicted to Christ and to follow him. Okay. First of all, before we get in the lesson, or next, I want to thank our sponsors, Barbie, Margie, Brianne, and my daughter Lois went with us. As a teacher, it's hard to keep up with the kids and most of the day because I'm teaching three times a day, and everybody has needs. They need water and all this kind of stuff, and the girls need their frou-frou stuff from Walmart. And everybody knows I hate Walmart, so Barbie and Margie and all of them took care of that. And I just want you to know that. How many of you have been sponsors with us at Encounter? Raise your hands. Diane's in the nursery. She's one. It's not a vacation. I know we show Bahama Bucks and eating out sometimes, but it's not a vacation. It's from 7:30 or 8 in the morning till midnight or after every night when we get back to the motel. So it's not a vacation. We go because we love it. Encounter 2018, follow. The Pied Piper of Hamelin. How many know that story? Yeah, the kids know it because we talked about it at Encounter. The town was infested with rats in their beds, in their house, up and down the streets. It's kind of like a plague in Egypt. Would you want to get rid of them? Of course we would. So this piper comes through town and he plays a little tune and the rats follow him out of town. And he comes back to collect his money. And what does the village do? They renege on it. They made a simple business transaction and the townsfolk said, no, that was too simple. We're not going to pay you for it. We could have gathered up the rats and drowned them. And so what does he do? He plays a different tune. And their children follow him out of town. Unconditionally, the parents are screaming, come back, come back. And the kids are still following this piper because they've been mesmerized. Do we follow unconditionally? Do we? Yes, no. I see some no's. And I beg to differ with you. Janie, if Neva calls and says, hey, come, I'm going to come by and pick you up and let's go. What are you going to say? Okay. You're not going to question where you're going? So then do we follow people unconditionally? Do you have somebody that's going to call you and said, I'm coming by to get you. Let's go get a Coke or whatever. Do we ask, well, what's going to be in the Coke? Or where are we going to go get it? We don't. We follow unconditionally. Just like the children did with the Pied Piper. We follow unconditionally. Now, there's not enough ambulances in Henderson to take care of everybody that would pass out if I showed the video that I showed the kids. But I'm going to show you a picture of a band. And if you know who this is, raise your hand. Have you heard the song, Highway to Hell? In that song, their front man says, Satan, pay my dues. Is Satan going to pay anything he can to get you to follow him to hell? They're saying, highway to hell, highway to hell, highway to hell. And in the video, there's 100,000 people plus in this arena. And they're jumping up and down and screaming, highway to hell. Some of them have horns on their heads, like what are the good things the girls put on their head to hold their hair back? Thank you. And they have horns on them. And they're wearing them. And they're screaming and yelling. And they're doing this. What is that? It's not the longhorn symbol. It's devil horns. 100,000 plus kids are screaming, highway to hell. And they call it paradise. Is hell our paradise? And the sad thing is, Malcolm Young, who's the bass player, or was the bass player for AC/DC, died Thursday. So is he in paradise? According to what he's singing, he is. But I don't think it's the paradise he planned on. Okay, Raj. Bring back memories. Raj and I went to see ZZ Top. And they get real excited in their concerts. And here's their dance move. When they get real excited, they do this. And the song that they performed in our class was Sharp Dressed Men. Anybody heard that? Where'd you hear it? Duck Dynasty. But they also have lyrics in a song, and he says, I saw a cowgirl floating across the ceiling. Well, if you see a cowgirl floating across the ceiling, what does that tell you? Huh? On drugs. We don't see visions of people floating across the ceiling. The rest of that line is, I saw a naked cowgirl float across the ceiling. How many of us follow, and most of this is our kids, but how many of us follow these singing groups? Or we get so caught up in four-part harmony that we lose track of what the message is. Because that's what we do when we go to these concerts, if you've ever been. What about this group here? Newsboys? How many of us went to see God's Not Dead? What are they portraying? That God's not dead. One of their most famous songs is God's Not Dead. He's fully alive. He's living inside, roaring like a lion. And that's the way we should be. We should have Christ and God inside of us, roaring like a lion, where we can't wait to show people about Jesus. Now, does that make you uncomfortable about showing people about Jesus? Because sometimes we have to step out of our box. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do we follow unconditionally? Well, we know we follow our friends and family unconditionally. But are there other things that we follow unconditionally? What is that? Do we follow social media unconditionally? That's why I had you put your phones up. Because I know just as sure as I'm standing up here that some of you say, well, I'm using it for my Bible. And before the end of the first song, you're looking at Facebook or you're sending a message. If you don't think we can't see that from standing up here, we follow social media, Snapchat, and Bob, I apologize for sending you that Snapchat this week. I had no clue what I was doing. I got on Snapchat this week and was trying to make use a little emoji, and all of a sudden I get this response back from God and Bob and saying thumbs up, you know. I'm like, why did he get that? So I don't follow these things very well. All right, what about Hollywood? Do we follow Hollywood? You know, I posted this in every class. The girls had this big old grin come up on their face and their cheeks start getting red. Like, Hugh Jackman. But I had to leave an actress out. Because if you look at the red carpet in Hollywood or in the Grammys, all of these ladies that walk the red carpet, they might as well not have a dress on because they're so sheer or they're cut so high or so low. Do we still follow and watch? And we don't think about it. All right, I know we got a lot of retired people in here. What about cruises, vacations? Is that what we think we're supposed to do because we're retired? We try to figure out where we're going next on our cruise. We've already been to the Bahamas and we've been to Alaska, and now where we're going to go. And we don't care about our family back home or our church family back home. We're retired. It's our time. Am I getting close to home? You know, I got a bottle at the house. The seal's still on it. It's in my closet. It was a gift. But I understand this. I had a great uncle that had a moonshine in his backyard. My family, that's what they followed. That was their living, was to produce moonshine and sell it and share it with the family. This stuff here is water compared to moonshine. We understand that. We know people that follow this. Maybe one of your parents, your brother or your sister. What about our grandkids? Do we drop things in an instant to go encourage our grandkids? We do. But what's more important? Ken's walked out. This is my man. Mine and Ken's. Jason Witten. And it's not because he's a sports hero. That's one of the reasons, but that's not the main reason. If you go on social media, YouTube or somewhere like that, and Google Jason Witten's retirement speech. He talks about his commitment to the Cowboys. Nobody worked harder. Nobody worked longer than Witten. More receptions than any Cowboy in history. This, when he retired a month and a half ago. But in the first 5 minutes of his retirement speech, he quotes scripture and gives credit to God for guiding him, for teaching him how to be a father, for teaching him how to be a husband. He's got standards. He's got morals. And those things come from the Bible. That's why he's my man. Because to him, Christ is more important than the football career. Because he knows and knew when his career was over, no matter how long it lasted, that wasn't the most important thing in life. That's why Jason's my man. So what are the things we follow? Where are they taking us? Do you know where these things are taking you? It could be like Malcolm. He was screaming highway to hell. Well, his lifestyle has carried him there. I'm not his judge, but his life says, I can guarantee you that's where he's at. So where is it taking us? I got to give credit to Tom for this. One morning in our men's prayer breakfast, everybody knows Tom loves poetry. And so he quoted this for us. But when I got to listening, this is the bottom line right here. Anybody know what a calf path is? Most of us should. Alan, you know what a calf path is? You got cows? You know what a calf path is? So I'm going to have, David's going to read this, but he's not going to read it from his seat. He recorded it for him. But watch the slides I've put on here as David reads the calf bath.
One day through the primeval wood, a calf walked home, as good calves should, and made a trail all bent, askew, a crooked trail. As all calves do. Since then, 300 years have fled, and I infer that calf is dead. But still, he left behind his trail, and thereby hangs my moral tale. And thereby hangs my moral tale. The trail was taken up next day by a lone dog that passed that way. And then a wise bellwether sheep pursued the trail, or veil and steep, and drew the flock behind him too, as good bellwethers always do. And from that day, o'er hill and glade, through those old woods a path was made. And many a man wound in and out, and dodged and turned and bent about, and uttered words of righteous wrath, because 'twas such a crooked path. But still they followed, do not laugh, the first migrations of that calf, and through his winding woodway stalked, because he wobbled when he walked. This forest path became a lane that bent and turned again, and this crooked lane became a road, where many a poor horse with his load toiled beneath the burning sun, and traveled some 3 miles in one. And thus a century and a half they trod those footsteps of that calf. The years passed on. In swiftness fleet, that road became a village street. And this, before men were aware, a city's crowded thoroughfare. And soon the central street was this of a renowned metropolis. And men 2 centuries and a half trod in the footsteps of that calf. Each day 100,000 rout followed that zigzag calf about, and o'er his crooked journey went the traffic of a continent. 100,000 men were led by one calf near 3 centuries dead. They followed still his crooked way and lost 100 years a day for just such reverence is lent to well-established precedent. A moral lesson this might teach were I ordained and called to preach. For men are prone to go it blind along the calf paths of the mind and work away from sun to sun to do what other men have done. They follow the beaten track and out and in and forth and back and still their devious course pursue to keep the path that others do. They keep the path a sacred groove along which all their lives they move. But how the wise old wood gods laugh who saw that first primeval calf. Many things this tale might teach, but I am not ordained to preach.
How many of us have ever wondered why we are here right now at this time in history? Have you ever thought about your history and where it started? A simple calf path has created huge, huge metropolises. But we don't question. We don't even question sometimes our spiritual path. Christ wants us to follow Him. I read this morning. He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth his son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Have we taken up his cross? We say we have. Now, I want you to understand that some of the things that I say this morning, there's nothing wrong with them. But how do they balance the scale in our lives? Just like Jason, I know where his scale is balanced because he professes who leads him. Now, do we profess who leads us? Mark 1:17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Come ye after me. What does that mean? It means follow me. Matthew 16, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does he say? Follow me. It's not the social media. It's not our retirement. If those are the things that are more important to us than Jesus, if we know His voice, we follow Him. How do we know His voice? If you go to the New Testament and you got a red letter edition, you know what He says. Because what Jesus says is in the red letters, right? That's how we know to follow Jesus. But there's more to it than that. I love this one right here. Because Jesus, or Christ, also suffered for us. We all agree to that? All right. Just because Bob's up here doesn't mean you can't say amen. We agree that Jesus suffered for us. And here's the part, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. We all follow someone. Are we following Jesus? Now, if you don't agree with what I'm fixing to say, if you want to take half my pay, you're more than welcome. But sometimes we follow a logistical structure in church more than we follow Jesus. We try to decide and fuss and argue over whether we're going to do the Lord's Supper before the sermon or after. Whether we're going to serve from the front or the back. That's logistical structure. That's not following Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture can you find where, other than at the Last Supper, can you find where He passed the bread and the wine? And that was a meal. They're sitting at a table. So how do we follow Jesus? Is it what we've done this morning? One thing is, because we come here to encourage. And after the end of the service today, I'm going to ask that you stay, and we're going to gather around, and Jalea and Laura are going to come up here, and we're going to sing happy birthday to them again. Because we want to encourage them as they start this new life. But what about this other stuff? We fuss and argue over water fountains and church buildings or kitchens. Do we find that in Scripture? A lot of times we are more vocal where the Scripture is silent than we are where it speaks. Okay, now it's your turn. How do we follow Jesus? With love. Very good, Tom. What do we do with that love? We spread it. See, I told you, Jalea's already on the ball. She's ready to go. Anybody else? Serving. How many of you are ready to serve? Or is that out of your comfort zone? Jesus calls us sometimes to do something that's not in our comfort zone. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, I don't think so. I'm not comfortable with that. How do we serve Jesus? It's very simple. One of the things my dad taught me was to kiss it. Anybody know what kiss it means? Keep it simple, stupid. It's very simple. And I'm going to show you this morning. I've already asked Carla and she's refused. But who wants to volunteer to come up here with me? None of the kids. They know what I'm doing. They didn't raise their hand anyway. I got one. You're off the hook, Mario. Okay, I'm going to ask you to sit right there just for a minute. Because I'm going to lay the groundwork for this. How did Jesus spread His word? Most of us think sermons. Praying, service. We think, if you look at the life of Jesus, pretty much the only thing and the only time that Jesus, quote, preached was with large crowds. Sermon at the Mount, feeding the 5,000, when He had to get into a boat because the crowds were so large. Then He preached. But He gives us other examples. Legion. What did He do for Legion? He preached to Legion before He cast out the 5,000. Legion wouldn't have listened to Him. His mental state was not at the level of retaining what Jesus told him. What about the blind man? What did Jesus do to him? Come here, I got a message to tell you. No, he healed him. The lepers, what did he do first? He healed their leprosy. Everyone with the woman at the well, Jesus took care of the pain and the agony that kept her from focusing on Jesus and on God. Anybody that has lost a loved one goes through that pain. The last thing you want to hear is a sermon. And even I know, the last thing we wanted to hear was a sermon. Don't quote scripture to me. I had to question things I had learned because we lost Kate. So don't preach to me. Get away. Every time Jesus goes one-on-one, He takes care of those needs that hurt people. And this is how simple following Jesus is, because those were examples He gave us. And we overlooked that. We want to reproduce His sermons and His message. And that's good. We need to. But first we have to take care of everybody's hurts. Now, how simple is that? Face them. Now this is confession time. Tell your brothers and sisters what's something that keeps you from focusing on Jesus.
My kids being taken away from me.
Her kids have been taken away from her. Would that keep you from following Jesus if your kids were taken away? I want your response. I want to know you're hearing me. This is how simple it is to follow Jesus. Get on your knees. Father, we come before your throne and we lift up our sister. Father, we are supposed to hurt when she hurts. We're supposed to rejoice when she rejoices. And as we as a congregation stand behind her at your throne, give her strength and peace and understanding that you're in control. And sometimes we don't understand the things of life, but that you are in control and that we as a congregation are behind her to support her during this time. Father, may we follow you wherever you want us to go. And help us to realize that you fought the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were so steeped in tradition. And I pray that we as a congregation will realize that that's not your structure. That's not your will. Your will is to follow us. For us to follow you as you guide us. As we dig into scripture and realize how you have set this example. Father, ease the pain. We pray that you intercede and as she tries to follow you more and more, that she is able to get her kids back. And then she can help ease their pain and teach them about you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can go sit back down. Folks, that's it. Is that hard? We see that Jesus does that all the time in Scripture. But do we do that? We're more concerned about Lord's Supper structure, baptismal times. None of that is an example of what Christ wants us to do. But we make it that. Christ says, follow me. And if we don't dig into Scripture and realize how Christ lived His life, we're not following Him. Because we put things in our life before Christ. Our scale is balanced the wrong way. And again, don't get me wrong, these things aren't wrong or bad. But where's the biggest emphasis? Is it on retirement? Or is it on following Christ? And as we travel, seeing people hurt and asking, can I pray for you? Where's your calf path going? Are you wanting to make huge metropolises? Or do you want to follow Christ and His disciples? It's that simple. It's that simple. If you're not following Christ, and the scale is balanced in His direction, you need to think about it. If you want prayers, David, and who's going to be Ray? Ray's going to be down front here too. And we'll take you and we'll pray for you. Or if you want to follow our two new sisters, we'll be here to assist you to do that. As long as you understand the commitment. You understand the commitment. It's a daily walk. From the time you put baptism on until the Lord takes you home. He wants you. If you have a need, please come.